Let me tell you why you're listening. You're listening because you know something. What you know, you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life. That there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there, like a splinter in your mind, driving you mad. It is this feeling that has brought you to the Salty Show. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Leftism.
Do you want to know what it is? Leftism is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now in this country, you can see it when you look at your phone or you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to school, when you pay your taxes. It is the narrative that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
That you are a slave, Tim. Like everyone else, you were brainwashed into bondage, indoctrinated into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind. Unfortunately, no one can be told what leftism is. You have to see it for yourself. This is your last chance. After this, there's no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever the fake news tells you. You take the red pill. You stay in the Salty Show. And I show you how the left has lost its mind. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Search for The Salty Show and give us a follow. Hit that like button and share some of the content. Enjoy the show.
Everybody, what's going on?
Oh, shit. Hello, hello, hello. This is Heidi.
Hey, everybody. This is Jeremy, and welcome to our world.
We have a special guest today. We have Morpheus. We have and we have Neo. We have Mr. Anderson. We have every. We have to have the whole Matrix crew over here. What's up, Mr. Soli Soul?
Leftism is a real problem out there, right?
He's faking it, guys. He's really, you know, he supports LAGA.
What's LAGA?
Ladies Against Anal.
Oh, wow.
You are nasty.
Right. And it's a red hat, too, because they're not allowed to have periods.
Dear Lord, where did you find this?
Jesus. All right, so, okay, guys, on this episode of The Salty Show, impeachment is in full swing, or as some are calling it, the shifty shift shit show. More of a whimper than a boom. Crickets from the witnesses when asked the name any impeachable offense in that now famous Ukraine call. Oh, I'm going to play that.
Okay. It's I want to hear this. All right. This is interesting.
Get ready to be red-pilled. We'll dive into a documentary that challenged the MRA movement. Who is the MRA? The Men's Rights Activist Groups. What? So, is there a men crisis? Feminism says no. But the reporter who was going to uncover all sorts of misogyny in these men's rights groups instead got a good dose of red pill. Yeah.
Did he make her gag on it?
Oh, God, stop. All right. The stock market had another great week, up 200 points, and now at an all-time high, 28,000.
Not my stocks.
I guess fake impeachment doesn't hurt the economy. All right, this one. Bernie Sanders said this week that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez would play a key role in his administration if elected.
Are you serious?
Something about cocktails. Cocktails.
Cuckold. Cuckold.
Anyway, read the transcript. We'll talk about all that and more on this episode of The Salty Show.
Friends with Monica Lewinsky.
Salty Show.
I got something real quick. Before we go into anything else, I got something real quick. So before I came over here, you know, I got to go to Chipotle, right? I got to grab my dinner.
And we're suffering.
First of all, you said it wrong.
It don't matter. I don't give a shit. I say Chipotle, and that's how I'm going to say
Chipotle?
Chipotle. Okay, here we go. So first, my evening starts where I go get my coffee, you know, my Dunkin' Donuts coffee, even though they're not
sponsoring
us.
It's not Dunkin' Donuts anymore.
It's called Dunkin'. Anyway, so I go there. The machine's down. Like they go, oh, sorry, we temporarily closed. This shit always did some random shit, right? So then I got to go to 67. So I'm like, oh, there's a Chipotle there. So okay. I go in, and of course, there's a line. But it's the mutants that work there. Holy shit. They are the worst. They are the worst. They're not even happy. They're just doo-doo-doo-doos. You know, one of them looks like he's got a booger hanging out of his nose. Then the other one's just looking at me like...
That's the guacamole.
Is that booger right there?
You want to eat guacamole with it?
Oh, get that dick out of my face. Anyway, but like, my God.
Heidi has dick straws? Is that what they
are? Oh, my God.
They're penis straws, Jesus, so I can point
it. But like, and even the people that order food are just the fucking dumbest people. Like, you should know when you sit in a line what you want already.
Bro, Uber Eats, DoorDash.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
It's the worst experience.
It's the worst experience. I'm sorry. They can't even make shit right. And then they just, they give me like two, like one, like a half a scoop of rice, two pieces of chicken, three beans, and a fucking shitload of cheese.
Did you count
and,
all this?
Yes. And a shitload of guac, cheese and sour cream. No wonder why I got the shits and the farts right now. Jesus. You know what I'm saying? But, oh, my God. But everybody else in front of me, they just like, I don't want what I want. I want to punch everybody in the face. I want to punch everybody in the face when I go to Chipotle.
But they're going to be making $12 an hour come January 1st.
So, oh, they can all suck a dick. So the next you know what I mean? They should not make $12 an hour. They should not get health care. You know what they should get? A fucking shotgun to the fucking face.
Wow. Okay, stop. Whoa. Okay.
So the next time Timmy goes to Chipotle, I'm going to get in line in front of him and be like, can I sample the rice?
I will kick you in the dick. I will straight up
One rice piece at a time. One rice piece at a time.
We need to start going and asking for samples at Chipotle.
Stop. No. And then let me tell you something. And then I proceed to get in my car, right? So I pull out to get on the dick. I stop at the light. Well, you know, some next mutant's on his phone, and it glows up his whole car. And I'm like, whoa, aliens are there. I look over. Dude's got his finger up his nose. He's literally picking this thing. And then he ate it.
Then he ate it.
I'm sitting there staring at him the whole time. I'm like, are you going to eat this? And he actually ate this shit.
Somebody tried to convince me that boogers were good for your health.
Protein.
Jesus.
No, that's not protein.
Yeah, who said that to me? And no I was like, idea. I looked at like they were fucking
but, oh
crazy.
Oh my God.
All right, so hold on, guys. That was an excerpt from the Tales from the Rail.
Tales from the Rail.
He's got his own podcast, ladies and gentlemen. It's called Trails. I'm just kidding. All right, let's get into it. Heidi, what's going on with the
my night.
Heidi?
I don't even know.
Give us your headlines.
I don't even know how I can deal with this next to me. all right, so local news, quick, and not a lot to talk about other than for whatever reason, a lot of children dying, teenagers dying because of they're being hit by cars. No, they're being by. Hit by cars and hit by buses.
I know why.
In the valley.
You want to know why? Because they
they're
all
staring at their phones
and picking their nose and eating it. Because they look down like this, no. And I'm guilty of it too. And I almost got hit by the car the other day. So they're staring at my phone, and you're looking down like you're literally doing this, and they literally walk right into the fucking street. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
No, they're not paying attention, and I'm surprised it took this long.
So I told you a couple weeks ago what they had to do in South Korea. They actually had to put stop on the street. So, because everybody looking down.
Yeah.
And they actually had to, they painted all the streets with word stop.
Well, yeah. I don't know.
Darwinism. Just,
Darwinism. Well, I like it. Keep it up, kids.
It's a little sad.
Keep staring at your phone and walk around like idiots. And
all right.
Wait, they didn't say what? They didn't say, kind of, Tim has his theory, but they didn't say. What?
Well, they were just a whole bunch, I just saw a whole bunch of headlines, and the headlines here in the valley, they were all, there were.
Oh, okay.
Quite a few of them that just talked about. Teenagers, 12-year-old hit by a school bus. 14-year-old hit by a vehicle.
What else would
and
it be?
I mean, going to and from school. And it's just one of those things where, you know, shout out parents, freaking have conversations with your kids.
Either they're drugged out on Ritalin or staring at their phone.
So, so I had just seen that quick one, but let's talk about Trump's headline from 2 hours. Okay, maybe 4 hours now. Trump grants clemency to two Army officers accused of war crimes, restores rank of a Navy SEAL.
Wow. What were they? Do you have any information on that?
So, yes, President Trump has granted clemency to two Army officers accused or convicted of war crimes and restored Navy SEAL to the rank of chief petty officer after he was docked a pay grade after being convicted of posing for a photo with a dead Islamic State fighter in ISIS.
That was like a year ago, wasn't that?
Well, this report
sounds like it must have been under
Well,
Obama.
They might have gotten in trouble, but he today because this was reported.
Tell me how that's headliners. Bad,
I don't think it is. I think it's
poor taste, but it's not bad, and you shouldn't.
In this state of the world, everything is poor taste. Okay, let's.
I'm glad he.
Yeah, me too.
I just think it's really. Yeah, I think it was good that he did that because the fact of the matter is, these guys are doing their jobs. We're not over there. We're not experiencing what they're experiencing. We have no idea what they're going through. And for some asshole to say, "Oh well, this was." How do you know? Where is your right to say that you're not there with your uniform on?
Everybody has Twitter, and they can fucking tweet and be Tommy Tuck.
And ironically, I found that earlier today. I captured it and I grabbed it, and now it's giving me error messages and trying to close it out. So, where's the twilight of somebody trying to block
it's ABC
shit.
News. ABC News is right? trying to hack Who your knows? Computer.
Police find 26 children behind false wall at Colorado daycare.
Wow.
I was like, what the hell? This world is super. So state authorities have suspended the license of the Colorado Springs daycare because they found they were all under the age of 3.
What?
And they were found behind a false wall in the owner's basement.
Wow. I hope
26 children. So for those of you who don't, somebody must have alerted authorities.
Child services.
Yeah,
or
because
something?
They went in. So it says the owner of Play Mountain Place Daycare, Carla Faith, 58, is being investigated and 3 workers arrested on charges of misdemeanor child abuse relating to neglect. So they put him in a basement behind a false wall, 26 under the age of 3 years old.
Why would you put him behind a false wall?
Because they're
if somebody
assholes.
Comes in and checks, then you like there are no kids. First of all, it sounds like this is being ran out of a home, which it is. It shows a picture of it.
Right.
Real cute little white picket fence home. And there's rules. You have to have so many. Like, if they're under the age of 1, you're not allowed to have, it's 5 per 1 adult. And they said these are all under the age of 3.
So it sounds to me like somebody from child services ever showed up and they hid the kids behind the wall. And said, yeah, come on in. There's no one here. Not that they're behind the wall all the time. I would assume.
So the officers showed up to look, to do a check on the home.
Yeah, welfare and, check or whatever. They call
yeah,
it.
And they're like, no, there are no kids here.
Right.
And then they end up finding them.
Yeah, I'm sure they're not back there all the time. It's probably just whenever.
No, it looks like it's, this is the way they, yeah. It's,
they run the show?
They run the show this way.
That doesn't make any sense to
do that. The fact that they built a false wall for that, there's some, some shady shit. People like that.
I agree.
Honestly, people like that, you know what? That's where you bring them out in the middle of town and let people throw fucking rocks at them because that's pure evil.
So
you're destroying those
kids. The other
kids.
Thing that kills me about this is this same exact freaking woman in 1998 had 44 small children in her home being unlicensed. Like, what the hell? But it was in L.A.?
Who's leaving their kids there?
No shit.
I take my dog to daycare every day. It's the same shit, right? You know,
yeah, you drop them off,
that,
and if you don't know what's happening after you drop them off, I mean, I've taken, my kids to
you have
in-home
good
daycare, and
you know, people give them good reviews, right? And like, you're not there, and you know, when they probably sign your kid up, like, oh, look, everybody's playing together, blah, 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 and then.
Yeah. Nowadays, it's one of those things where having a webcam would be good, but then at the same time, you know, having a webcam is kind of
creepy.
Exactly.
Yeah, but people don't really freak out when you put their kids on the internet on webcams and stuff.
Right.
So.
Hell yeah.
The YouTube video start.
Can't blame them.
No, I'm going to just make my kid, I'm going to give him a nice little gold chain, and he's going to have a little GoPro in there.
They probably will by the time you have kids.
You know what? They could. That's what parents should be doing. Like putting a camera.
Yeah. 20, they 58, have.
They right. do, like when they do they that do on cats and shit.
Jewelry, yeah, jewelry and stuff. They're starting to put the trackers in there, so you know it's a matter of time before they do.
Put a helmet on that kid. Put the GoPro on
Or just replace one of his eyes with a camera.
Oh dear Lord!
No. Terminator
contact cameras. Yeah. Right?
Oh, contact lenses. It is not so a glad all he has is a dog.
Yeah,
poor dog.
All right, so that was pretty much. I was trying to keep it.
That's fine. All right. So we have two topics here. The one that I want to talk about, because it should probably be fairly quick, is that documentary that I recommend you guys watch it at your
Oh, I started watching it before you interrupted me tonight.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Wow.
The first 5 minutes had me laughing. First 5 minutes. So once we start talking about it,
we're talking about the red pill.
Oh yeah, the red pill.
All right. So
one of the best comments I've ever heard in my life.
So this movie came out a few years ago. I recently came across it browsing Amazon Prime. And if you do have Amazon Prime, you can get their Amazon. You can watch it for free, basically.
Prime Video.
Or use Nelson's account.
It's called The Red Pill. Okay. Now, one thing that I want to say, the movie does a good job in covering a lot of the people who are at the forefront of the men's rights issues. And I think it does it unintentionally, because while the woman who made the movie, her name is Cassie J, she was trying to expose the organizations, the MRA organizations, as being misogynist. She found instead that there were real issues where men are in crises and that societies and governments are completely ignoring these issues. So what she did is, for a year, she traveled across North America, Canada, and the United States, and she interviewed these people, right? And one of the interesting things that she mentioned, she had a TED Talk, and she was talking about the process of making the documentary, and she says, one of the rules for somebody who makes documentaries is, when you're interviewing folks, you want to remain quiet, let them answer the question to the fullest, right? That way they can express their opinion as how they view it. And so she says that when she went back and reviewed the tapes, I don't know how many hours of tapes she recorded, she realized that they were answering her questions. She just wasn't really listening.
Yeah.
And so she was anticipating their response and even interpreting in her mind, she was interpreting it to a predisposed idea that she had of the groups, because in her mind, they were the enemy, right? So she gives one example, and this is pretty revealing. And she also talks about, she went through a transformation, right? Because initially she started off, she considered herself feminist. By the end of the movie, she no longer considers herself a feminist. So one example that she gives is, one of the guys that she was interviewing, she asks, he tells her, just walk outside, look around. Everything you see was built by a man. And so she would look at that and she would get offended, right? She's like, oh, what, women can't contribute anything? And then so when she went back and reviewed the tapes, she's like, well, let me reflect on the sentence. Was it really anti-woman? Or is it just a matter of fact? Right? Men build the buildings, right? The majority of the buildings are made by men.
Most women sit there with the stop sign. And then...
So she said that the equivalent, the reversed statement would be, just look around and everyone you see was birthed by a woman.
Sure.
Right? Does that mean that that statement is innately anti-men, or is it just a true statement? Right? It's just a true statement.
Sounds pretty true to me.
So as she was going, and I'm going to list out a bunch of things that where men are in crisis. And this is one of the things that she talks about. One of those is the male suicide rate, which is 3.5 times higher than that of women. Right?
So right there,
go ahead.
That stat, right, is probably one of the funniest ones, because in the beginning,
how is that funny?
Because one of the funniest statements that I heard in the beginning of it, right, as they were doing like the intro, this lady's like screaming at this dude, right? Like they're having a conversation and she's screaming, and he's like, yeah. He goes, that this is why guys want to die earlier, because they don't want to listen to you screaming at him.
Yeah,
I was rolling, dude. I was like, Every guy says that. Yeah. They go, why do men die before women? Because they don't want to hear them. Because
they want to.
Fucking 60 years of nagging. Ugh.
There's another one out there.
And they stop putting out and all that shit. Ugh. Fucking
kill them. They say that married people live longer. It just feels like it.
Yeah. There's truth behind this. I'm sorry.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for the support.
Anyway.
Hold on. There's another.
Anyway, please explain the rest.
There's a lot of statistics here that so she was oblivious to this. She didn't know these real stats. And then when she went and researched them, and she realized that these are actual facts where men are in crisis. Here's another one. 93% of workplace fatalities are men.
Okay.
78% of murder victims are men. The homeless population is over 70% male. Men's life expectancy is 5 years shorter than that of a woman. More than 10% fewer men than women attend college, and the men that do are more likely to drop out. Mm-hmm. So these are real stats. And again, she was oblivious to this. And when they, you know, are having a conversation with her, she realized, you know, these are real facts. And so she goes then and talks to the feminist organizations, right? And you know what they do? They're like, oh yeah, they brush it off, like it's a not issue. They're like, oh no, they just make that up so that we can focus on the real issues that are affecting women. It's like, why can't you have both? Why can't we look at both men's issues and women's issues and address them?
I guess I want to understand what it is that they think are women issues. What are they basing that on?
That periods.
Okay.
It's true. That's one of their problems that they have periods.
Okay, that's fine. I'm just asking. Okay, well, what else? I mean, what are they basing that on? Who is doing these surveys? Who's answering these questions? And what are they basing on the oh poor you're
crazy
a woman
feminist
shit?
So one of the things that she mentions is that why they oppose it is because when she came out with the film, she was being interviewed. The media, there was a backlash. They didn't like it.
Well, it was against the narrative.
Exactly. That's the term. And so she realized right away that she was like, wow. And she gave a quote, and this is so true. When you start to humanize your enemy, you in turn may be dehumanized by your community. And that's what she experienced. People started saying, how can you give these guys a platform? They're anti-female. And none of those guys ever in the whatever hours that she had of recording, none of them ever said, you know, let's ignore women's issues. None of them said that. They all said there are men issues that we also need to focus on. But in their mind, just focusing on these men's issues and trying to attack them or solve them means that we're removing resources from addressing female issues. But again, like I mentioned, there are serious things. Here's another one. Men are 2 to 3 times more likely than women to suffer from substance abuse disorders.
That explains the homelessness discrepancy. Yeah.
56% of boys will undergo genital mutilation. Now, see, this is one I don't know about because this is a religious thing, a circumcision, right? But boys are growing up; they don't get to choose that, right? You know.
I don't want the skin. I don't want to have to peel back the banana peel.
But again, they're
okay.
They're
so
you don't have that choice.
Yeah, but
that was a religious practice.
No, more than just religious practice. Oh my God, TMI. Mm-hmm. All right, so my dad's side of the family, they didn't do that to the young men. In the family. And my uncle, I remember, oh sweet Jesus, in 2000 and
I don't want to hear it.
Four, I think.
When he just whipped his dick out in front of everybody.
No, but he went through a surgery. Oh. Because apparently, if I recall the story correctly, it was before that. Connor was like 2-3 years old. Anyways. And we go to by to visit him after seeing my grandmother, and he's sitting on the couch with a blanket over his lap because he had had surgery a day before, 2 days before, and it was to remove the skin. And he, to basically get the circumcision as an adult, because he apparently tore it when he was being too aggressive with his wife. Yeah. Like he shared a lot. Of, oh yeah.
He was probably by himself.
And he's telling us, huh?
How old was he? 50s?
50s, easily 50s. Yeah. No. Okay. Yeah, easily in his 50s. But my point is, there's some health things there too. So it's not always just religion. Sometimes it's health. Because
sometimes schmegma gets inside of there. You
know, I made that decision based on a health decision, not on a religious decision.
Right. Right. So going back, you had stated it as what percentage of men or boys are more likely to be, you called it genital
mutilation.
They're considering a circumcision.
Genital mutilation.
And then females can turn around and say the same thing.
So for me, that was one of those gray areas. I'm like, I don't necessarily agree with it again, but you know what I mean? But the point is that the kid does not have that choice, right? Somebody's making that choice for them.
I'm the one responsible for that child. I'm going to do what I want to do with my kid.
Okay, so that can go down another fucking slippery slope.
Right.
You know, when these parents are fucking giving their kids the tranny fucking treatment at three.
Unless less controversial.
A whole nother difference.
Yeah, I mean, you're responsible for that child.
I think that the slippery slope here is that, again, for many years, this was a religious practice, right? This is, people were doing this. There was no medical reason. It was just religious, right? And there, right now, there's a certain religion that shall remain unnamed just because we might be demonetized. We all know who they are.
Hello.
Oh, dear Lord.
Who does genital mutilation on females so that they don't have sexual pleasure. Now, this is a practice that if we,
no wonder why they walk around so miserable.
Oh, God.
Go back to fucking mansplaining, please.
All right. So again,
man-hating.
I recommend that everybody watches this movie because it is really good. Again, she goes through this transformation. She kept a daily diary or a video diary where she would talk about, you know, the transition she was going through. And if you watch the whole documentary, towards the end, she says, you know, I honestly don't know if I consider myself a woman. And again, she came to this conclusion based on the interview she had with feminists, the leaders of the feminist organizations, who, when she mentioned these facts, just brushed it off. They're like, no, these are not
issues. That's because they are psycho.
Wow, dude. Oh, yeah. How where's your compassion? These are real issues.
They don't have compassion.
Yeah. Yeah. But this goes
they have an agenda.
But this goes for... You can almost say this goes for every kind of group, right? You know, you talk to the ultra lefts and the ultra rights and everything. It's one way, right? Like if somebody says, I feel this way and you ain't changing my mind, that's ignorance, right? Because you got to look at, you know, data might not change your mind, but you got to understand the facts and you can't say, well, that's not real. You know what I mean? Like in this, when they go, we just brushed that off. No, these are real things. This isn't fake. Right? You got to understand. And you can't, if you're going to say you're a feminist and brush everything off, that's bullshit because men go through the same thing. And I don't want to hear that thing. Well, my entire life I've been held down by a fucking man. Shut the fuck up. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just emotional. You know what I mean? Yes. Has it happened? Yes. But come through with some facts. Like, when a guy comes back and says, yeah, there are issues with men, don't brush it off and say you deserve it or, oh, you're just trying to change the narrative. No. You need to, you know, acknowledge that there's issues, just like men need to acknowledge that there's issues about females. And are you still playing with the dick?
You hold me down. I was gonna say I get held down by a man.
Oh wow, that's okay. Hold on,
is that true?
Let's get back.
Is that true, Jeremy?
Jesus Christ, they're talking.
But you see where I'm going. Like, it goes for anything, right?
Right. To your point, another group that I feel do that is vegans. You know, they're the fringe. Well, there's men and women vegans though, but I mean the vegans are the fringe of, you know, vegetarians, right? They're the ones that have taken it to the extreme.
No, vegans have taken it to the extreme with no meat, no
that's
nothing.
That's what I'm saying.
The vegan is the extreme of the vegetarian, right? Mm-hmm. And so when they can't prove their beliefs scientifically, they will actually make shit up. They will make movies that basically say, oh yeah, eggs are killing people and meat's killing people and blah, blah, blah. And when you actually do the research on it, none of it's true. Mm. It's just a blatant lie. Right. And what they do is there's vegans all over academia, right? So what they'll do is they'll have some PhD write a paper. No one else will check it for facts or anything. And they'll publish it. And then all of a sudden, all these vegans have this ammo. It's like, oh, look, this article from Harvard or Stanford or wherever these crazy, you know, educators are at.
I could speak to this. I was a vegan for a year.
Yeah, how'd that work out for you, Mr. I Can't Get It Up Anymore?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Wow.
But no, 100%. Here's the deal. You can be a very healthy vegan, right? And when people ask, why do you do it?
No.
It's for this. It's when, See, but you see, this is, you're going to the other side. If I say I'm a vegan, and I say, well, because it's my beliefs, and you say, well, my belief is eating chicken, I go, all right, that, there's nothing wrong with that, right? And if, but if if they look at you and go, oh, you're a heathen, like, you know, some people in the past and, you know, has said to us, you know, so it, you can, you know, be, have difference of opinions and have a conversation and say, well,
everybody has a difference of opinion but it's from somebody else.
But it becomes the extreme when they start screaming at you, saying, you should be a vegan and you're an asshole for eating meat and look at those chickens.
Honestly, Tim, I don't care if they scream all day. Problem is that they're passing legislation and they're doing shit.
Meat Mondays.
Yeah, it's like
what?
It's No Meat Monday, right? Is that what they're calling it?
I have not heard about that. What is that?
Oh, you know what?
The mayor of New York is trying to pass No Meat Monday.
Well, he's also letting criminals out of the fucking jails. All right,
I'm pretty sure it's called No Meat Monday.
But hold on. This is what people need to understand. If you're doing being the rawest as a vegan, where you're just eating the raw vegetables and everything. That is very healthy, and you can be not lose weight like I did. It's when you start eating that fake food. Tofu and all that soy shit is not healthy for you.
That's not true.
Worse than eating processed food.
That's not true.
Soy is horrible for you.
No, what he's talking about.
Soy is horrible. Soy is horrible. But there are, I think it's 13 essential vitamins. These are vitamins that your body has to have in order to survive. And the vegan diet does not give you those. That's why people that are on hardcore vegan diets can actually die because they're not getting the vitamins that are essential. You know, the body does make some vitamins, but there are others that you have to consume.
Well, I
know
the
vegan diet does not.
Well, I know a vegan family that is just fine, and you wouldn't know they were vegan or not vegan if they are doing.
Some of the top bodybuilders right now are vegans. Some of the top MMA fighters, boxers, even wrestlers in like WWE, you know, like they're vegans, and they're. I mean, you look at them, you think like they eat like 5,000 calories a day. They probably do just different diet, dude. You know. There's a right way and a wrong way to do everything, you know?
So there's a lot of supplements there that you know.
Probably. I mean, I was doing B12 drops and all that shit.
Right. Look, so you're taking the vitamins. So what do they call it?
So it's not a natural way of getting your nutrients. You know what I'm saying? It's an artificial way that they've done it. When you're telling people, you can live this vegan diet, but you're going to need to take all these supplements in order to compensate for what you're not getting. Okay, sure. You know, you can live that, but it's not a natural way of doing it.
Well,
you know
not all
vegans take the vitamins, though. Yeah, again, I know a family that did it just fine, raised children, and didn't.
Where are they getting the vitamins from?
Out of the foods that they are eating.
Yeah, you get a lot of
You can get your protein and your fiber and your vitamin C and your vitamin D, but I'm saying you can get those things. And you don't have to eat red meat, and you don't have to eat chicken, and you don't have to eat those things, and you can get them from the earth and other sources.
So look at the some of the largest animals that roam this planet, an elephant and a gorilla. Mm-hmm. They don't eat meat. Look at the size of that. Explain that.
Well, the whales eat nothing but meat.
Right.
The point that he's trying to make
is... Look at a gorilla. We are very close in... If they say primate, we are in the line of a gorilla. And look at a gorilla.
So it's not only...
They fling poo, too.
Yeah, but it's exactly. Exactly. and that's what's happening with vegans.
Why is that
there's a mental capacity... Because you don't know... You know, the processing level of the human brain, obviously, it's far more advanced than that of a gorilla. Now, if you want to slow yourself down and eat bananas and carrots all day, by all means, do it. You know, just don't be worried about when everybody starts doing that and starts flinging shit everywhere, because that's what, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, you know, to Heidi's articles, I mean, kids, they're slower than a gorilla because they're walking into fucking streets looking at the damn phones getting hit by buses.
That's a different story. So anyways, I wanted to just top that off real quick with the a CNN article that's called...
Oh, CNN fake news.
Next.
Hold on.
Oh, wait a minute. This is in their agenda, right?
You ever see a chicken compose a symphony before?
Yes, it was ugly. It was terrible. CNN reports New York public schools to have meatless Mondays starting this fall. Yeah.
Fuck New York.
See, and this is the problem, Tim, is that they have their ideas, right? And then they try to, they can't just live alone with those ideas and be happy. No, they have to impose it. Why? Oh, because we know what's best for everybody and you just need this and we're going to.
But that goes across the board. Jeremy does the same thing in his house. Jeremy does the same thing in his household. This is the lifestyle. This is the way we're going to live because this is the way that I feel, regardless of anything outside of that.
But that's different from making laws.
I know, but there are still people out there doing the same difference with other laws and rules.
Yeah, you can raise your kids
else.
And your look, own household.
I'm just giving an opposing argument because obviously I'm not vegan. I'm never going to become vegan, and I do not think that is the best way to live.
So talking about different beliefs and the cuckoo-ness, so... most places celebrate fucking Christmas. They all have a tree lighting, right? So apparently some town in New Hampshire, they do this. It's like this been going on for, since, the colonies. Bunch of people in the town. Oh, no, it's offensive. Yeah, they canceled the tree lighting ceremony.
Well, I got to give props to Bella's teacher because she's playing Christmas music.
Who raped you?
It's an iron. I was ironing a shirt.
Look like you're trying to fucking slit your wrist.
Anyways.
He told her more than once.
Anyway, yeah. It's going to be his way or the highway, or he's going to burn you. See?
You really were held down by somebody.
Mom and dad. No. His parents. Anyways, Bella's teacher playing Christmas music in the classroom.
Nice.
Freaking love it.
Yeah, don't worry about
it. The other teacher won't. She's like, yeah, no, we don't do that. But
we'll see how long that
lasts. Hey, you know what? I'll take it for right now. Right,
baby, it's cold outside.
All right, let's get to this. All right, let's talk impeachment. Woo. So this
impeachment.
Week,
impeachment.
This week, 2 days of hearings, and Democrats have yet to produce any credible evidence of wrongdoing.
What are they running with?
All right, so mostly hurt feelings and orange and bad sentiments.
Oh,
right? So let me give you guys a summary. There were three witnesses. Two of them went. Spoke on Wednesday, I believe, and then one on Friday. And the first two didn't even have any direct access to the president. They haven't sat down and talked to him, nothing. I'm not kidding. Okay. And the third was fired for being a swamp monster. And now
what's a swamp monster?
You know how he said he was going to drain the swamp?
Oh, okay.
So she's
that's a fireball.
So she's basically upset. No, and I'm gonna give you guys the three people and who they are. So the first one is George Kent. Okay, now George Kent, he heard his evidence or his testimony is basically hearsay. He was told that President Trump wanted the Ukraine to say they were investigating the Bidens. And the Clintons of wrongdoing. So he didn't hear it directly. He just heard somebody who said, hey, Trump wants the Ukraine to say this.
Okay.
The second guy is Bill Taylor, a former ambassador. He says his staff, a member of his staff, overheard Trump asking about the status of the investigation, meaning the Ukrainian, the investigation into Hunter Biden, during a phone call to the ambassador of EU, name of Gordon Sondland. Now, he's going to be testifying next week. Again, hearsay. The guy heard, one of his staffers heard, and his staffer told him.
Okay.
Okay? Again, hearsay. The third person is Marie Yovanovitch. I don't know. She's, the former ambassador to the Ukraine up until recently. And so Trump fired her. Trump fired her because, she was incompetent or she's been there for a long time, and she was fired. And so basically she was upset. When during the hearings, all she talked about was just being upset that Trump basically demeaned her character and basically her
reputation
exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's an impeachable offense?
Exactly. So these are their key witnesses. These are the first people that they brought on.
You know, now, we need a big billboard in every city that shows this ticking
dollar amount to how much this impeachment is costing the taxpayers.
They want him out. The people that support this all want him out. So they don't get, if it cause, if they bankrupt this company, this country trying to get him out, they will be, oh, we got to get him out. And then what's going to happen? Not guilty. Or the Republicans will be like, yeah, we're not going to proceed with your bullshit.
So Lindsey Graham, he's in the Senate, and he's basically going to be the one who's going to be leading if it does go to a criminal trial. He said he won't allow any hearsay testimony and won't allow any won't allow testimony of anonymous whistleblowers, right? And this is exactly because he said this in an interview. He's like, you can't even get a parking ticket based on hearsay. And you guys want to impeach the president on hearsay?
That's a bad precedent, by the way.
Democrats, emphasis on rats, want to impeach a president based on hearsay. and they even went as far as saying that hearsay is better than direct evidence. I'm not lying to you. Let me show you.
What?
Yes, let me show you this video. Think I'm making this shit up. I'm not making this shit up. Let me show you what was said.
While you're getting that up,
I think the American public needs to be reminded that countless people have been convicted on hearsay because the courts have routinely allowed and created needed exceptions to hearsay. Hearsay can be much better evidence than direct, as we have learned in painful instances.
All right, Mike,
and it's certainly valid in this sense.
Well, gentlemen, you know, when I hear this, I just hear delusional. I hear people looking at this and they've gone mad. And their stupidity, their ignorance, their disregard for why they're there in the law. They will sacrifice changing the game just because to switch the narrative, just because they don't like Donald Trump, because he's anti-establishment.
They're at the point where they're willing to kill the country.
Yeah.
It's like Bill Maher was saying that. The economy needs to tank.
Yeah, to get them out.
So that we can get...
And the economy is not tanking.
I don't care how many people lose their jobs. Basically, what he's saying is, I don't care how many people lose their jobs, how many kids lose their homes, how many whatever. He doesn't care about that.
Right.
Because it's all the only thing that matters is that we get this man out of the White Office.
Orange man bad. And again...
The Oval Office. This is crazy.
Right.
It's crazy.
Jeremy... And even that is not working for them because the economy is what is the term barometer? The economy is a great barometer to how confident people feel or how insecure people feel about the impeachment proceedings. You know that the fact that the economy is doing so well right now
is
clear evidence that people look at this and it's like, yeah, this is not going to, because if the president of the United States was really going to impeach, that causes chaos and it's not good for the market. But yet the market is looking at this and saying, this is bullshit. Yeah, nothing's going to happen.
Because more important things are happening right now in the market, right? So customer sentiment went up from 0.02 and it was higher this month or in October to 0.03.
Right.
And then Kudlow.
All these people said. All these people said as soon as Trump took office that the economy was going to crash, and it didn't crash. In fact, it got better. And
best
it's
market.
Better. And okay, so now here's one thing that needs to be said. If Democrats want to play this game, this impeachment game, and it goes to the Senate, some of them are trying to campaign, and the Republicans have intentions of dragging them in to come and testify. They're going to have to come and testify, leave the campaign trail, and come to testify.
Ah.
You guys want to play this game, because this is all politics, man. Not one single Republican voted to have this. Not one.
Right.
If this is in fact, two Democrats voted with the Republicans and said, this is, guys, we don't need this. Anyway, so I want to show you guys the introduction, David Nunes. Now, it's a little bit long. I'm going to edit some of this out, but I want you guys to hear this because one thing that he mentions, and this is we have to be reminded of this because this happened. Adam Schiff got a call from pranksters. I told you guys this.
Yeah, the Ukrainian.
He got a call from these pranksters that told him, hey, you know what? We have some nudes, Trump nudes. And you know what Adam Schiff said? He said, no, this is not right. I'm going to be colluding. No, you know, he's like, oh, yeah, we're interested. Now, this is what he's saying that Trump did. He colluded to damage his opponent. But there is a clear call that Adam Schiff wanted to collude with somebody. Now, they're saying, and so the Republicans say, but you know what? Ukraine got the funding. There was no investigation into Hunter Biden.
He was early.
So there was nothing. And so you know what they're saying? They're saying, well, it doesn't matter. Results don't matter. It's the intent.
Yeah.
Right? Now, if it is the intent that matters, then why isn't Adam Schiff being dragged in to testify and being cross-examined? Because his intent was to collude and get dirt on Trump.
So before you play the video, when this thing all started and they released the transcript and then we had the show the next day and it was like the Washington Journal, whatever that article I had, they basically interpreted exactly what they thought he said. Like, oh, this line right here, Trump really means like, I'm not giving you the money. Oh, this line right here, Trump is implying this. It's quid pro quo. But no. If you're saying direct evidence, that is direct evidence. These are his words that he said. Here's the transcript. It's not doctored. It's the raw official transcript. Out in the public. No. There's a super secret one somewhere that somebody knows something and somebody did something when. You know what I mean? Shut the fuck up.
One beautiful thing, David Nunes, the guy who's leading, you know, the cross-examination from the Republican side, he comes out in his opening statement. He says, these impeachment hearings are the low-rent Ukrainian sequel to Russian collusion.
Yeah.
And it's so true. They shifted, and no pun intended, they shifted from Russian collusion to Ukrainian collusion.
Quid pro quo. Yeah.
Now here's, I won't play the video because, you know, it's too long, but President Zelensky, right, the Ukrainian president who just won over the summer, he didn't even know that the military aid was being held, right? He didn't even know. So how could it be a quid pro quo, right? If he didn't know that military aid was going to be held as long as until he investigated Hunter Biden, right? So there is no quid pro quo. Now, if they have to impeach Trump for a quid pro quo, then they have to impeach President Zelensky for lying because he says there was no quid pro quo. And so President Trump, in a rally, the Ukrainian foreign minister sends a letter. And again, saying.
He read it.
He read it. Did you see that one? Yeah. Let me play this for you because I think this one is worth playing.
This just came out. Big story. New remarks from top Ukrainian official. Damages Democrats' impeachment narrative. Just came out. I only read it because they don't like to report stories like this. You know about that. Because we're fighting the Democrats, but much more difficult to fight is the fake news, I'm telling you. And they're a partnership. So I call them a partnership made in hell. Here it is, Ukrainian foreign minister said on Thursday, listen to this though, and they won't even want to report it, it's because it ends it. It's all about that. Ukrainian foreign minister said on Thursday that the United States ambassador did not link financial military assistance to a request for Ukraine to open up an investigation into former vice president and current Democratic president. Can you believe? Like, we need help to beat sleepy Joe Biden? I don't think so.
Exactly. That's a beautiful statement. No.
I mean, what do you think this guy's going to do? You know what I mean? Like,
I think he's going to be president for another 4 years.
Shit, he could probably be able to be president for another 20. You know what I mean? But no. But my whole thing is, if this shit was real, Republicans would say, oof. If every Republican said, you know what, we're going to move to impeach him.
Right.
Okay. That's an impeachable, you did something wrong, but even if there was intent and his tone was a certain way, you can't get somebody on that because a tone could just be, maybe he's tired. Maybe it's this, it's an interpretation. But if he goes, hey, look, if you don't fucking investigate this motherfucker, we're going to hold it back.
So
that's my words.
Here's the thing though. So now, the Democrats allege that Trump held aid, right? That this is what they're saying. However, Trump gave Ukraine the military aid that they needed that Obama never gave them to be able to, because if you remember, Russia invaded Ukraine and took over Crimea. And they were begging the Obama administration for military aid, and Obama did nothing. He sent them, I don't know, like freaking.
Yeah.
And so, but Trump, he sends them military aid. And so who's pro-Russia here? Who's pro-Ukraine? You know what I mean? Like, and he held that because he didn't know about Zelensky. He's like, we need to figure out. And so there was representatives of the United States who went out there and who met with him and said, how do you gauge this guy? Is this guy legit? And until everybody that is part of his cabinet that he wanted to go and talk to him came back and said, you know what? He seems legit. Let's go ahead and do it. They went ahead and did it. And on September 11th, they released those funds.
They had until the 30th.
Yeah.
And that was the thing. He could have waited until the 30th to give him that money. He's like, I came 2 weeks early. Yeah, that's quid pro quo.
Right now.
You know?
All right. So now, it's clear that there is nothing that the witness from the first day were a dud. They were, dude. Schiff is now showing clear signs of being drunk with power. Because I'm going to show you this video here that just annoys the shit out of me. How this guy behaves, dude.
I know, Ms. Stefanik, you had a few quick questions for the ambassador. I'll yield to you, Ms. Stefanik.
Thank you, Mr. Nunes. Ambassador Yovanovitch, thank you for being here today.
The gentlewoman was suspended.
What is the interruption for this time? It is our time.
The gentlewoman was suspended. You're not recognized. Mr. Nunes, you are Minority Counsel.
I just recognize.
Under the House Resolution 660, you're not allowed to yield time except to Minority Counsel.
The ranking member yielded time to another member of Congress.
No, that is not accurate.
You're gagging the young lady from New York.
Ambassador Yovanovitch, I want to thank you for being here today.
Gentlewoman was suspended. You're not recognized.
This is the fifth time you have interrupted members of Congress.
The woman will suspend.
Mr. Chair, we control the time. It's been customary to this committee that whoever controls the time can yield to whoever they wish. If we have members of Congress that have a few questions, it seems appropriate that we be able to let Ms. Stefanik.
And in fact, Schiff did that prior to here. He did that himself.
Ask her questions.
Ms. Nunes, you or Minority Counsel recognized.
This guy reminds me of with the Wizard of Oz. He's like, pay no attention to the wizard behind the curtain.
No, he looks like evil.
Yeah, he's
he looks
crazy.
Evil. Like, I gotta have the power. I gotta have all the power. Nobody heard of Adam Schiff until like a week ago or whenever this shit started. I didn't know who he was. Did you know who Adam Schiff was?
This guy
all of a sudden is gonna run for fucking president in 2024. Right. Fuck him, that piece of shit.
He ain't doing shit.
California, right? He's another fucking cocksucker from California that all they do is fucking throw shit on people and fucking do needles and fucking, oh, get the fuck out of here. Just fucking die, please.
Okay, so this guy, he has
Adam
Schiff has blocked
gorillas
every Adam Schiff head. Has blocked every witness the GOP has requested. This is not due process. He's not allowing it because he's the one in charge, right?
So a Republican brings this and says, "I want this person to come and testify."
He says no. Yeah.
Under what grounds?
None.
Resolution 666.
He's also blocking the whistleblower from being cross-examined. Another thing that he said. He's like, I've never talked to this whistleblower. And he said that at the hearings, and every Republican laughed at him, dude, because he's met them. There's clear evidence that he has. Anyways, so I wanted to say this, right, because the Sixth Amendment to the Constitution, part of the Bill of Rights, is clear when it comes to criminal cases. It guarantees the accused the right to be able to confront those who accuse him of wrongdoing, correct? And it allows cross-examination of a witness is key in any court case because it allows the defense to validate whether or not the witness testimony is, in fact, truthful, right? Democrats say the Sixth Amendment doesn't apply in this instance because it's not a criminal proceeding.
Right.
It is an impeachment proceeding. But don't you have to commit a crime in order to be impeached? High crimes and misdemeanors. The Constitution is very clear on that, and they're playing a semantics game that they're not going to win.
So the hearing is to see if they're going to move forward with the trial. So you can say whatever you want in this hearing because it's not under oath and all this stuff.
But
once you go to the Senate, if it went to trial, now everything is corrupt. Now it's a criminal.
Right,
you know?
Right, right. And that's what the Republicans are going to do in the Senate. However, I'm going to get into it, but let me finish out my thought here. Okay, so one of the things I want to say, how many cases are there in the U.S. where the accuser has to see the accused? How many cases where is the prosecution unable to move forward because some people were unwilling to testify against, say, the mafia, against this? But yeah. that is a right that's guaranteed to every single citizen. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now the Democrats, you're right, Tim. Technically, they can do this, and that's how they're able to get away with it. But if this was a real, true, let's get the evidence, gather the evidence, let's see who's coming here, let's be able to cross-examine it, because that's what they're doing here. When they have these guys who are testifying, the other side should be able to cross-examine. Let me ask you questions. Let me see this. Let me do that. Why? Because you want to see if the person is credible. Now,
but there's no judge. So normally that would happen in front of a judge, and the judge would make the judge and jury would make the determination if it would go to trial, right?
Right,
but that's not. This is. There's no judge there.
It's a shifty shift
is a judge.
It's a technicality. And again, the
not recognized.
Okay, so
not the mom.
Right, now I want to also get this point across. So Democrats are saying that it doesn't apply because the whistleblower pointed to the evidence, right? And the evidence should speak for itself. They don't want to have the whistleblower testify because they're saying the evidence is the actual call, not the whistleblower. So you guys have the call or the transcript of the call, therefore this should be enough evidence. So clearly the transcripts show no intent, because if it did, Adam Schitz wouldn't have had to make up shit when he was reading the transcript. Go ahead.
Right. So the transcript, Trump is not arguing the transcript. He mm-hmm. agrees that that's how the phone call right. went. So since there's no argument about the transcript, then there's no need to question the whistleblower?
That's what they're saying. Okay. Exactly. If it is based on the intent for malfeasance and not that he actually did it, they're all placing their bets on this, right? On intent. Then it could be said that, as Tim just mentioned, that maybe it was in the tone that he used on the call and thereby strong-arming Zelensky into an investigating Hunter based on the tone. If that's the case, then yes, the whistleblower still needs to speak, because if he's the witness, then he can say, you know what? It was in the tone of voice, in the way that he said it. It came across this way, right? So either way, they're saying it's intent. If it's intent, then we need somebody. He needs to come and be cross-examined to validate whether or not what he's saying is actually true. I know this. I'm sorry. This is getting convoluted and boring. I see your guys' face. I had to watch 8 hours of this fucking shit
well,
show.
Yeah,
a new poll conducted reveals that a majority of Democrats believe the impeachment proceedings will fail.
Yeah.
So this is blowing up in their faces.
So, all right, let's be real. Why are they doing this?
They're trying to undo the 2016 election.
It's not about doing the 2016 election. They see the writing on the wall. They're seeing Legxit, Blexit, you know, the Chexit, you know, what's the
yeah,
next one?
Yeah, all the movements.
Yeah. Seeing all the movements, right? And all the narratives, it's like, oh, Kavanaugh failed. Collusion failed. Whatever else he did. Everything is failing. Yeah. So, okay, let's just come up with an impeachment now, right before as the campaign trail starts, because now everyone's going to be in the debates. Well, you did, you know, and they're going to try to get everybody.
It's not going to matter, because all they're doing is shooting themselves.
Trying to sway.
Yeah, but they can try all they want. It's not helping them. It's hurting them. They're too stupid to see.
Right. So the 150 million people that voted for Hillary last time, man, it's probably going to go down to a lot less voting for whatever fucking mutant they got. They got no strong candidate.
They don't.
Like, half the Democrats that voted for Hillary didn't like Bernie Sanders, right? You know what I mean? So the Hillary people aren't going to vote for Bernie. And the Bernie people really didn't want to vote for Hillary.
I think the majority of the people that wanted to vote for Hillary just wanted a woman. They didn't care who the woman was. They just wanted a woman in there. And when
Bernie was doing
better in the polls, the DNC snubbed him out.
He wanted. That just shows everything.
They cut him out because they wanted a woman.
Yep.
In the White House.
Yeah, so it was their turn.
They thought it was going to be a landslide.
This is how much they don't have on this, right? And we're going to get into Minority Report style law enforcement here, because this is true. AOC says we need to impeach him, not just because of something that occurred, but to avoid potential violations. I want to play you this video, guys. This is the genius of...
can we send her back to the bar in
Queens?
Before
you start that video, I don't know if you guys remember when this thing started. The impeachment?
Yep.
Basically, what they came out originally and said was, well, we kind of know about, we think it's the Ukraine, but really what this is about, we feel that he's abusing power. That's what it's coming down to.
We talked about that last week.
Their feelings.
Yeah. It's a feeling. It's not even fact. He's the president.
Yep.
Obama signed 1,000 executive orders doing some crazy shit. This guy's done maybe 400, And it's actually helping.
Forcing everybody in the country to spend tens of thousands of dollars a year on health insurance that they may or may not have wanted.
Exactly.
Look at
this
thing.
Let me play this genius here.
At the end of the day, we have to be able to come together as a caucus. And if it is this Ukrainian allegation that is what brings the caucus together, then I think we have to run with however we unify the House. And so while I believe personally that we should be pursuing and investigating quite flagrant abuses of the Emoluments Clause, even reporting as recently as the suspicious stops at Trump properties, even in congressional delegations or rather in foreign trips. I think that all of this is game for investigation, but we also need to move quite quickly because we're talking about the potential compromise of the 2020 elections. And so this is not just about something that has occurred. This is about preventing a potentially disastrous outcome from occurring next year.
So the
So they're saying, hey, this is, we need to prevent Trump from being able to win the next election.
Right.
That's what she's saying.
The outrage or whatever, the catastrophe she's referring to is Trump getting reelected.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, go away, woman. Go away.
All right. So let me see if I find anything else on this thing. So I did see this tweet, and it was actually pretty genius. I didn't save the link, but I saved what was said. This is what the Democrats are attempting to impeach right now. Lowest ever black unemployment, lowest Hispanic unemployment, lowest women unemployment, $5,000 gain in average middle class household income, the defeat of ISIS, Korean peace, record stock market, another record week, 6 million new jobs. I can't get one. 6 million, 6 million off of food stamps, right? 6 million people have left food stamps. They hate Trump more than they'd love America.
Yeah.
It's a true statement that Jeremy just said. And so...
numbers don't lie, my friends. Numbers don't lie. And if it turns around, they say, well, he's not coming up with the numbers. Mm-hmm. These numbers are being collected by other people, not Donald Trump.
Right.
They hand him the numbers and boom. But the only thing that I do not like is that the deficit grew even, it's even larger than what it was. But if you're spending it here,
right,
to rebuild roads, build the wall, do the infrastructure projects, you got to spend some money to make money.
What I think is going to happen, I think if he wins a second term, he's going to tackle that. Right now, he can't. Right now, because what's going to happen is that Democrats can say, oh, look what he's doing. He's taking all these people off. But I think it's coming. I think that's going to be under. Now,
yeah, you
I,
know
think,
how it goes.
I think we're done talking about the... impeachment. This is going to go on for a few weeks, so we'll keep you guys informed. Now, I do want to talk about one more thing. I saw this video, and it's from a movie. Did you guys ever see Fences? This is with Denzel Washington. Came out a few years ago.
I like Denzel Washington.
So I'm going to show you the scene, and I want your guys' opinion on what you guys think. It's a 4-minute clip, but and he's talking to his son in the movie, right? Let me just show you.
Now, when I get $200 clear, I'll buy me a TV. Right now, when I get $264, I'm going to get that roof fixed.
Oh, Pop.
You go and get you $200 and buy you a TV if you want to. I got better things to do with my money.
I can't get $200. I ain't never seen $200.
All right, I'll tell you what. You get $100, I'll put the other $100 with it.
All right, I'm going to show you.
Man, you're going to show me how you can cut these boards right now. There you go. $200 worth.
Lord. Can I ask you a question?
What the hell you got to ask me? Mr. Stewicki, the one you got the questions for.
How come you ain't never liked me?
like you. Who the hell said I got to like you? What law is there say I got to like you? Want to stand up in front of my face and ask a damn fool-ass question like that? Talking about liking somebody. Come here, boy, when I talk to you. Straighten up, goddammit. I asked you a question. What law is there say I got to like you?
None.
All right, then. Don't you eat every day? Answer me when I talk to you. Don't you eat every day?
Yeah.
Nigga, as long as you in my house, you put a sir on the end of it when you talk to me.
Yes, sir.
You eat every day.
Yes, sir.
Got a roof over your head.
Yes, sir.
Got clothes on your back.
Yes, sir.
Why you think that is?
Because of you.
Hell, I know it's because of me. But why do you think that is?
Because you like me?
Like you. I go out of here every morning. I bust my butt putting up with them crackers every day because I like you. You're about the biggest fool I ever saw. It's my job. It's my responsibility. A man is supposed to take care of his family. You live in my house, fill your belly with my food, put you behind on my bed because you're my son. Not because I like you, because it's my duty to take care of you. I owe a responsibility to you. Now, let's get this straight right here and now before I go along any further. I ain't got to like you. Mr. Rand don't give me my money come payday because he like me. He give it to me because he owe me. Now, I don't give you everything I got to give you. I give you your life. Me and your mama worked that out. Between us and liking your black ass wasn't part of the bargain. Now, don't you go through life worrying about whether somebody like you or not. You best be making sure they're doing right by you. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Then get the hell out of my face and get on down to that A&P.
So, what do you think about that philosophy?
Well, I just said that to Connor this morning, just about an hour ago when he was sitting there eating the food. I said, you eat his food, right? He's like, yeah. I said, so he can eat that baby Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
You eat his shit and not say nothing? Seriously.
No, but based on what you... So, Heidi, this is a philosophy it. In life mm-hmm. and that a lot of people growing up know a father like this, right? A lot of people will say, you know, it's this tough love. What do you think? What is your opinion? Do you think he should have said, because I love you? Or do you think he should have said, don't look for affirmation from other people. You need to see if people are doing right by you.
I agree with it.
So I like the lesson that he taught 100%. And I do think that this is okay. So
say it.
All right. Mm-hmm. Jeremy and I actually had quite the argument last night. So and the argument is because Connor is going through something right now, and he did what I would do and what he's been raised to do and what I was raised to do. In the middle of the night, his car started overheating and was breaking down. Mm-hmm. So he picked up the phone, and the very, very first phone call he made after he pulled into a gas station was to my dad.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Your dad. And my dad and Connor, they spent about an hour on the phone in a gas station parking lot with the lights on, going through the things that could be wrong with the car that he could visibly see right then and there mm-hmm. and possibly fix. When that didn't work out for fixing the car, and mind you, my dad was in California and Connor's here in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So after that didn't work out, he hung up with my dad. My dad said, just figure out how to get it home, park it. I'll be home. When I get home, we'll go through it together because mm-hmm. nothing that he was telling Connor on the phone was visibly wrong with it. So, he calls me next, and it's by now pushing 1 a.m. or something along those lines. And he says, Mom, I'm trying to get home. The car's overheating. I called Poppy. Poppy said to get it. That's what we call my dad. Poppy said to get it home, park it. And he was going to help me take care of it as soon as he got home. Can I please borrow the car? So initially you want to take Jeremy's little car. And I said, no, God, no, take mine. Cause I'm not going there. It's 1 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday. So he did. He got the car home another hour later. So 2+ hours after having problems with it, and we're pushing 2 a.m. And he picked up my car, and he was house sitting with living things in the home, so he couldn't just not go there. Mm-hmm. So he picked up my car. He gets back to that house, I don't know, 3 a.m. He did it, as far as I'm concerned, he did everything I would have done. He called Poppy. Poppy gave him instructions, whatever. And he went along his way. Okay. So Jeremy and I have a conversation, and Jeremy says, no, he should have been here Sunday figuring out how to fix the car. So we had the car Monday to go to work. Where I had already said, use my car till Poppy gets home, because that all happened. So Jeremy and I then had it out yesterday, ironically. And Jeremy's was like, well, look, I had nobody there for me to help me. I didn't have somebody that was going to help me figure out how to fix a car or how to give me a car or lend me a car while my car was down and out and not working. Mm-hmm. And I was, we were both heated. I was upset. He was upset. We were both heated. And he's saying, I'm a man. I would have figured it out.
Mm-hmm. I think he's mad.
I'm not mad.
You have interpreted what I said.
I want to hear her, and then you can say your version. Go ahead.
And I could have absolutely heard it the way a woman would have heard it, as that's logical, the argument that's going to be there, right? Yeah. But the point blank statement was, I was a man. I would have figured out how to take care of it and had a vehicle to get to work without the assistance of anybody else. Okay, fine, whatever. Well, without borrowing somebody else's car and inconveniencing them is the way it was said. And I'm like, okay, that's fair. But that wasn't the way I was raised. That wasn't the way he was raised. And I called my dad. I'm like, I don't understand. I don't understand how to communicate this any better than this is what I've communicated. And my dad just simply said, Heidi, you need to step back and think about it this way. I had a problem. I went to my dad. My dad took me alongside of him and taught me everything from the day I was five. Mm-hmm. I was side by side with my dad and he taught me it all. So, and when he needed help, he knew he turned to his dad and his dad helped him. Mm-hmm. When all my life I needed help, especially when it came to a man type of thing, I picked up the phone and what did I do? I called my dad and my dad pulled me alongside of him and my dad showed me whatever it was. He showed me how to do that. So it's probably more than I know how to do than I like to admit, because I don't want to do it and I have a man to do it. Right. I mean, let's be honest. Okay. That's what we're doing. So, and then Connor, huh?
You gave your husband a compliment.
Oh, I'm very blessed.
She called you a man.
Yeah. So, so what happened with Connor? Connor did the same thing. He has learned his whole life. There's a problem. He calls two men. He calls my dad and he calls his uncle. Mm-hmm. And that's what he did. And then they gave him an instruction and he did it, because that's what he's been raised to look at and to believe and to think. So however that is put across, whether they say, I love you, or whether they say whatever, but it's the same thing as being taught, right? Is that you don't know how to do this. You called somebody, they helped you walk through whatever. It's not fixable right now based on these things. Leave it alone so you don't screw it up. To Jeremy's point, Jeremy's like, well, he could have asked me. Mm-hmm. But there's been things that have happened there that Connor doesn't feel like he can do that. So he turned to the people that for 19 years mm-hmm. have done and given and whatever helped him with whatever the situation was. Mm-hmm. So when I called my dad, my dad's like, you just have to remember there's differences. And like Jeremy said, no. I went and I figured it out.
I see. So, Jeremy, you have your side. Did you want to?
Well, right. I mean, we did have this conversation, and obviously there's three sides to every story, right? So my father was a mechanic. He worked in the motor pool in Vietnam. I mean, he was a mechanic for a little while. He had all the tools and everything when I was growing up. And if there was a problem with my car and I had a question about it, I would ask my father and he would come out and try to help me. Mm-hmm. There were a few times when like I had a car, I was driving down Camelback at 45 miles an hour and all of a sudden the engine just stopped.
Oh, shit.
I pulled into the parking lot. I just happened to be in a good spot. There was no other traffic. I made a left into a parking lot and basically the timing chain or the timing belt had broke.
Oh, shit.
And it bent, you know, it bent the valves, yep. The head had to be reground and everything. And it was, you know, basically it killed the top end of the engine. Mm-hmm. Well, obviously my father's not going to be able to help me with that. You need machine equipment and everything to do that. So we took it to the shop and got it fixed. Mm-hmm. And my argument for the situation this weekend was, I would not have parked that car at my parents' house for any length of time without taking it to get it fixed. That's just, you don't do that. You don't leave your car not working somewhere and borrow my parents' car. Number one, my parents, they had cars, but they needed them to get to where they were going, right? They needed to go to work or whatever. And so that was just, it was out of the question. You know, you don't even ask, hey, can I borrow your car to go to work for the next 3 weeks?
You say, hey, no. Can I get a ride to work maybe?
Yeah, so, but, you know, at that age, I had a bike, you know, I had a nice mountain bike. I had the ability to use a bus. And luckily, I was still in high school. So, you know, I went to school across the street. I walked to school because it was literally you open the front door and the school was right in front of me. Mm-hmm. You hop the fence, you walk through the football field and you're at your class. Mm-hmm. And I worked probably about 4 miles away. I could hop on my mountain bike and be there in 20 minutes. It wasn't a big deal, right? I didn't have that problem. But when my car exploded, you know, when it broke, my dad actually came out. We tied a chain around it because it was at night. It was probably 10:30, 11 o'clock at night when it happened, and we tied a chain to it. We drug it back. We didn't even take it to the house. We dropped it right off at the mechanics because why would you take it to the house? We can't do anything with it there. Right. That's
Let me ask you this. So I have a twofold question.
Okay.
One, if Connor would have reached out to you for help, would you have helped him? Two,
I would have tried. Yeah.
And two, do you think that by Connor not taking the car to get fixed and not rely on somebody, do you think that's a form of not necessarily even trying? Or, you know, somebody else is going to fix this problem for him type of thing?
I do.
I see it from his side, right? Because the perception is, hey, you know what? Somebody else is going to help me and there's no initiative
to do it yourself.
And to take ownership of that. And I think that from a guy's perspective, I get that. And that's good for Connor. He needs to be able to say, you know what? I own this. This is my responsibility. I'm going to do everything that I can to get it done. Yes, you can reach out to somebody and get help and whatever if somebody tells you that. But, you know, I get it. So I think it's one of those things where
it's a different kind of upbringing.
I can't. There's a lot of things I can't do.
Yeah, but
I ask for help. Yeah. I have no problems asking for help.
Right.
But I stay there with those people if, you know, he helped me put up a ceiling fan for me, you know, because I am mechanically inclined. One of the main reasons why I'm mechanically inclined is my dad used to try to teach me things. But me and my dad, still to this day, we can't do anything together without
trying to kill each other,
without dirty FUs, because I have way I see things and I want things done, and so does he. Mm-hmm. We're very alike, right? So we butt heads, and it's always fuck you, go fuck yourself. I'm fucking out of here.
But see, I get it. Yes, having people there who can help you when you need to be helped. Yes, of course, that's always a great thing. But learning something yourself, doing it yourself, you can give a person a fish,
right?
And you feed them for a day,
sure.
Or you can teach them how to fish, and you feed them for a lifetime. And I think that's the lesson, right? With Connor, yes, today somebody saved you, and great, you know, they fixed the car. But you're missing out on an opportunity where you can learn something yourself, and next time you're in the situation, you can fix it yourself, right? And I think that's right.
So so to that point, but that was the point that my dad made to me is my dad's like, look at the upbringing and the difference in the upbringings. So again, my dad learned because he turned to his dad. Mm-hmm. I learned because I turned to my dad. Connor's learning because he's turning to his dad. The figure mm-hmm. that's in his life is my dad mm-hmm. and my brother.
Right. I turned to my dad.
And he turned to them mm-hmm. and they said, okay, did you do all these things? He walked through those things for over an hour. And when that was done and accomplished, the next answer was
Why wasn't Jeremy engaged?
Well, I wasn't told.
Yeah. Why wasn't he engaged?
For this very reason.
Because that's exactly what it is, right? Is because the answer is figure it out. Like with the window broke. Here's all of the thing. Here's the tools that you need. Go fuss with this. And then Connor is left to stand, figure out the rest of it from there. And the same thing with the radio. So there's been multiple times where that's happened. Mm-hmm. And we are not the kind of people that I'm this way. You need to stand there and show us and help us. Right. Not here. Do X, Y, Z. figure this part out and then walk away and leave us to it.
Hold on. So I do remember because we were recording and right when he got the car stereo, you were telling us about the harnesses and all that crap. And like you guys started working on it. Right. And then you realize but then he didn't go to the store to get it. It just sat there. And it's like, okay, I'm done. You're not putting the time in. So, you know, if I'm helping you now and then you see there's
all
a problem.
All the stuff
and
was there.
He said that there was an issue and then
right,
he wanted
there
to sleep
was something
in.
That wasn't
and,
working properly.
You know, it's like, all right, but if you want something done and you ask for my help, if I say 8 o'clock, we're doing it, that doesn't mean you sleep till 12 and but then get up and expect, or I'm just going to do it.
I agree with that.
I've heard that, but here with everybody, it's not like it's behind, you know, those are those things though that. Yeah, you're going to get irritated. And after the fourth time of trying to help something and then the same bullshit answers, you say, fuck it, figure it out on your own. Because I want to help, but it's a two-way street. It's not, it's when it's convenient for you. So it's
for me.
But is never a time set.
So for me, I get why the fact that Jeremy was left out of this decision, to me, it would have bothered me because, number one, it's not just, I know you're saying, hey, you know what, I gave him the red light and da-da-da. Even whatever character he has, right, that it's a package, man. And you're going to have to some of those decisions, especially if they cause these type of arguments. In my opinion, you're going to have to include him and not say, you know what, I'll deal with Jeremy with Jeremy's wrath. I think you I don't know. Look, I don't have kids. Don't know. It's hard.
But again, if you know what I'm saying? If you listen to what his biggest irritation was, it wasn't the fact that his car broke down. It had nothing to do about that. It was the fact that he didn't take it right to the shop and leave it there and then go about
it's
his business.
I think it's
about sitting in
being
the house
accountable
and responsibility
for your situation.
What
and the car could not have gone there Sunday. Under no circumstances could the car have gone anywhere. Well, let me rephrase. It could not have gone to the shop. Shop is caged, locked,
so
a lot
of tow shops. A lot of tow shops have access, and you drop off the. You drop off the key. Yeah, I've done that.
AZ Master Mechanics does not have that.
Oh, so you only go to one mechanic.
We go to a very specific mechanic with this vehicle to have it taken care of, and it does not have that ability.
I know that when I've needed a car the next day or, you know, as quickly as possible, there are places you can get your car towed.
Sure.
And they'll put it in the gate, and then you drop the key, and you leave your name information, and they'll deal with it.
Yeah. And could we have reached out to... So, again, could I have reached out to pull strings with that particular owner to make an exception? Sure, absolutely. I'm learning a lot out of this entire experience, too, because what I'm learning is what I need to do to help teach the kids so that I don't piss off the husband. That's what it comes down to, right? Yeah. Because it's a happy house, happy spouse.
Or what you do is you say, here is the number, call the guy and talk to him. And if he doesn't want to help you, then you could say, all right, let me talk to him, right?
Well, so called the guy, he talked to the guy, and the guy gave him the instructions.
Right.
That's the problem. The instructions weren't good enough, period.
What were the instructions?
Park the car. I'm going to get there and help.
No. I'm talking about calling the mechanic.
It's the same owner. It's the same owner. The mechanic in the shop. It's all the same owner.
Owner of the car?
No. Owner of the location of the shop to get it repaired.
Right.
Owner of the tow people to get it there.
Okay.
It's all the same owner.
Okay.
Right?
I'm following.
Yeah.
So the owner said, just leave it in your house until Monday?
Yeah. It's all family owned. Okay. See? There's a lot. That's part of, right.
I think
so there's a lot of.
I think sometimes I always say this. I always say this. Perception is always reality.
It's always. Right? Everybody has their own.
Regardless of what your intent was, how you meant it, perception is reality. And I think in this scenario, the perception is he was not being due diligence. He wasn't taking that extra step.
Sure.
And I get that.
And everybody has that different perception, right?
You know, leave the car. I'm taking another car, and all right, it's not my problem anymore because I have wheels and I'm not grounded to... He needs to figure out how to get himself another car.
Sure.
That's why you go to work and save your money and not get tattoos and piss it away on all the things I've heard you say. No, but the things that you've said that you want to spend money on. You go to work and save money.
The biggest lessons I've learned in life are things that I had to figure out myself.
Yeah.
It's a great learning experience, man, and when somebody does it for you, they rob you of that opportunity. And so that's how you need to look at it.
Like, great example. My dad always, this is a great story, right? Great story. So when my dad was in the Navy, right?
borrowed 50 bucks from his dad, right? Borrowed 50 bucks. Yeah, show up, Pat. No problem. Hits him off. No problem. My dad goes out. Nice. He goes back into the Nate. You know, he goes back out and everything. Comes back home. And he's like, shit. He's like, hey, Pop, you know, hey, can I borrow 50 bucks? He goes, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's like, hey, go in the cookie jar. It's in the cookie jar. He's like, oh, all right. My dad, you know, goes to the cookie jar. All right, I'm getting 50 bucks from Pop. Opens up the lid. Looks. You got that look. He's like, hey, Pop. He's like,
marbles.
You're losing your mind or something? He goes, there's nothing in there. He goes, yeah. He goes, because you never put it back in there.
Oh.
Right?
Damn.
I can't give you more if you don't give it back.
Right.
Because there's nothing to give. And my dad goes, oh, shit, wow. Pop, you're right. So those were kind of the, like, those were the lessons that I was always taught. My brother, too, but my brother acts like he's got daddy issues and
look,
he doesn't.
I get it. It may seem like it's like how the Denzel character comes across as, like, being cold and distant. But I think, in my opinion, sometimes that, you need that because you need to learn things on your
He's
own.
He's trying to
you
teach gotta, him to become
exactly.
a man.
And it, boom, thank you. That's the term. Because, again, if somebody takes care of everything, you know, there's a different situation if Connor's stuck in the middle of the road and Jeremy's like, no, he's got, you know what I mean? That's different. But, like, you know, you got home and you get your car and you're just, like, leaving it there and you're not, you know, trying to figure out what to do next or you're not engaging me, you know, to me, I see the problem there. I think it's taking initiative, taking responsibility for your situations. Those are good things. Those are lessons that every man needs to learn. And
so what was wrong with calling and asking and walking through it with the people that he's always had there to do it? So at 1 o'clock or whatever time in the morning, I should have rolled over, woken Jeremy up. I mean, I'm just asking, woke him up and say, Jeremy, is it okay if I let him borrow my car? Because Jeremy's very big about these are my vehicles and these are your vehicles. Okay. That's a very big thing. This is mine. This is yours. This is mine. This is yours. So why is it that it's always like that? But now I need to ask permission for the things that have been clearly stated as, well, that's yours. You pay for that. That's yours. But now I'm supposed to,
I don't know if it's
at 1 o'clock in the morning, roll over and go, can I please do this with something that's
mine? I'm
going
to make an observation and I don't know. Okay. I don't know. I don't live with you guys. I don't know what happens. Okay. But here's my observations when I see you guys interacting and debating about, it's always about Connor. And I always see you always take on the defense, the mama approach of like, oh, I'm going to protect my son because, and then Jeremy's like, okay, great. But here's the problem with that is that when he goes out and he spreads his wings, the world is going to be very, very harsh. It's not, you know, and I get it. You know, you're always going to be there. Parents are always there. I get it. But I think sometimes the best thing you can do is let somebody fall on their face. And because that's one of those big.
How far?
I don't know.
How far do you let him fall?
You know what? When I had a fucking gambling problem, man, it was like, yo, they bailed me out once. I kept going. Hey, like, you need to figure that shit out on your own. I did. Okay. I was able to pay it off, burnt through whatever stocks I had. You know, I scrounged and got lucky, hit a fucking, you know, with my last $5, me and my buddy, we bought a scratch off. And we actually hit for what we were down. But after that,
he didn't learn his lesson. But then after that,
it was like, all right, you know, and you start, you know.
Everybody has a different level of how far, right?
Yep.
Right? So how far? How far is that?
I mean, you don't want him stuck
I think I understand. Jeremy's like, look, I'm cutting it off. Because there's no emotional tie for Jeremy.
There is an emotion.
I disagree.
There's emotional there.
I don't think he's going to marry somebody with kids. I don't think there needs
and not
to
have
be.
Emotional.
I think there doesn't even need to be. What there needs to be is what is the right approach so that this young man can grow up to be a good man, right?
He's trying to be a man, an everyday. Yes, your dad and Mike are always there.
Like Denzel said, I ain't gotta like you.
Yeah,
I just gotta do right.
He's
by
trying
you.
To do the right thing, right? And that's why I joke with Connor when he was like, "You ate my baby Ruth, right, Connor? You eat his food every day. You live in his house."
I heard you loud and clear. I didn't even think about it.
I
get the funny of that because,
but it's the truth,
right?
And he's gonna always throw the jabs when
he hears him kind of talking shit. He's like, fuck you. Like, don't remember the pecking order, right?
Right.
But if he was a complete dick, he'd be like, I'm not paying for food in the house. That's my food. He doesn't eat it. He's got to go buy his own food and eat that motherfucker in the house. And, oh, if you want to cook it on the stove, oh, you got to, you know, pay me for that 5 minutes of use. That's $20.
But see, that's
there's
exactly,
guys that do that. And they're those.
What do you mean guys? There's not just guys. I just had this conversation where I'm like, okay, Connor, these are what your bills are going to be on water and electric and food. But I'm also the one that's coddling him. What the fuck? How can it be both ways?
It can be both ways. Because you're trying to explain it to him until you start enforcing and saying, okay, pay me that money.
It's not about it. It is enforced when I take it. I take money from him every payday to pay his bills.
Why don't I ever see any of this money?
Yeah, because I know what she's probably doing with it, which is probably the smart thing, is teach him the responsibility and
that's a good thing.
But that's never part of it, right? It's always just the
because anytime somebody I remember something
Jeremy
up and we
said
bust
it,
his balls,
Jeremy
you
said it best.
Over.
Jeremy said it best. I don't know how many weeks ago about society as a whole and about the whole political bullshit, right? Everybody's trying to push this negative out there because what does everybody hear and what does everybody remember?
Negative.
The negative. Guess what? When that's all you're hearing, that's all that's remembered. And that goes for the 19-year-old kid trying.
Tim's distracted watching videos.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm done. Serious. Squirrel. Too much.
All right. So let's go Crazy Chronicles. What's going on?
Yeah. So customers and employees chase a deer through a Walmart in what state?
What state?
I want to know what state.
A deer
through
a Walmart?
It was just posted today.
What? What happened?
I took a swig of water when you said that. I was spit all over the place.
No, don't do that. I'm going to say South Carolina.
A deer
through a Walmart store.
Customers and employees chase deer through a Walmart.
Wait for it. Hold on.
Kentucky.
No.
Are there deer out there?
There's deer everywhere. There's deer in Arizona.
I'm going to just read this.
No.
Hold on. Tim hasn't made his guess yet.
I'm not telling the state. Me and the other gentleman actually flipped the deer over and scooted it on the ground until
West Virginia.
We got it all
the
way.
You got to say it in the accent.
Through the store.
You got to say it in the accent of the.
All right. What state?
Ohio.
I was gonna say that.
Ohio.
Whatever.
Yeah.
There's a video of the deer gets loose inside Wooster Walmart.
Wooster. Wow.
Isn't that in Mass?
Yeah.
Wooster Mass?
Yeah, I saw it Wooster Mass.
It's Ohio, I promise.
There's a Wooster everywhere. Do you know there's like a Phoenix in like
New York?
Is it in New York?
New York State, yeah.
I thought it was in somewhere else in like the Midwest.
No.
Dying for a better life? South Koreans fake their funerals for life lessons. And they lay in coffins and sit in coffins.
I just got to chill.
I'm sorry.
I literally just got to chill. That's so morbid.
What's
more
the life lesson?
More than 25,000 people have participated in mass living funeral services.
This is in South Korea? Or North? South?
Since it
South
opened
Korea,
in
don't have China.
They've been
China
doing
asshole.
This. They've been...
No, it's not that. That was even.
I know. I just.
It's China. Not South
I know. I know. I just said it to, you know, parody pun on words.
Are you okay?
Breathe.
They've been doing this since 2012.
Jesus.
Hoping to improve their lives by simulating their deaths.
You know, that could put some things into perspective, just saying. We should try that.
So wait, so they have funerals for themselves?
They lay in a coffin, and
their friends what? Give speeches?
They lay in wooden coffins. They lay in wooden coffins. And I mean, I know there's no
Can you take the dick
audio,
off your laptop?
But
and then, okay.
Why? Wait, hold
and people
on.
Actually it's, cry? Oh, yeah, wow.
Their experience, yes. Here's the coffin.
We should try that.
They're going to lay it.
Let me see,
guys.
Okay.
That is so
all right, guys. We're going to do it. When you guys do me, I want you guys to cry like really hard.
No.
You go first. No, wait. No. We're all going to do it, but you're going first.
They're crying. They're crying for themselves. I think they're crying for themselves. Dude, they start doing this when they're teenagers. Like, I don't. Oh, we're clapping. That. This is fun. This is
no wonder why they're so smart.
I guess I would have to go to one to understand.
Guys, this is how I want you guys to cry for me. This is how I want you guys to cry. This is in Korea, North Korea. When, what's his name? Kim Jong-il?
The dad died?
Yeah.
That seems so fake.
It is fake.
Hold on.
If they don't cry, they get killed.
Yeah, I know, right?
Jeremy, I want you to cry like this.
So no. I'm going to walk up to the casket. Is it going to be open casket or closed casket?
We'll do open.
No, we're going to do closed.
I'm going to put a bottle of Jack in there with you and then smack you on the head.
No, you know what I'm going to do? No, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to push the coffin over and watch his body just fall out.
What in the hell is
whatever
wrong with
Tim's
you?
Going to be crying like this lady right here.
Oh, my God.
God damn it. I got nobody to go to Santee's with.
Nelson, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you pre-record your ceremony, right. Your death ceremony, casket ceremony, anything like the Irish
guy did.
Oh. Like the Irish guy get. Yes.
They are devastated.
I have faith.
All right. Anything else, Heidi? Are we done?
We are?
Hallmark. Hey, Hallmark Dream Job.
I only want
offers $1,000 to watch 24 Christmas movies.
Oh, God, shoot me. Oh, my God.
That was for Jeremy.
Oh, my God. Have you guys,
hell no.
Have you ever been subjected to a Hallmark?
Yes.
What are they called? Hallmark?
Dude, my
mom. Hallmark movies.
Hallmark movies?
Channel Christmas movies.
Oh, yeah. My mom and my sister watch this shit all day long.
Her mom and her grandmother.
And my aunt.
And her aunt are addicted to these horrible shows. Yes. They watch.
Sob stories.
They watch It's a Beautiful Cranberry Christmas
Aunt Becky,
in the middle of July.
Hold on. Aunt Becky is now in jail, so maybe these Hallmark movies will stop.
No. Oh,
that's true.
No, she's not in a lot of them. It's Candace.
She was like the most.
Oh, the Candace Cameron.
Yeah, the blonde, right? That's
yeah,
the blonde.
Cameron. Yeah, Cameron.
Cameron.
No idea who that is.
Her sister. His sister. Cameron,
yeah. Oh, the girl who used to be on The View.
Cameron, no,
yeah,
no.
From the Full House.
The Full House show
yeah.
with the blonde
yeah.
hair.
Yeah, I remember.
But her brother is Kirk Cameron.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'd throw a little fucking bone and fucking
yeah,
squish
CJ.
That pussy.
She used to be CJ, right?
No, that was DJ. That was the other
DJ.
Girl.
DJ, there you go. I knew.
No, the DJ was the friend. What was her name? Stephanie.
No,
Stephanie was the friend.
So DJ was
no,
the girl.
DJ
was the girl. DJ Tim.
DJ was the girl. Yeah.
DJ Tim. Okay. Yeah. All right. Sorry.
Anyway,
I apologize.
We're reminiscing.
So, anyways, back to these nightmarish 24 hours.
Oh, we're still talking
of Hallmark. Yes, we're still talking. We have a podcast to do. It's kind of boring when you stop talking.
Because it means we're done.
Right. Not really, but yeah, her mom and her grandmother. Oh my God, you go over there Christmas time. It's just
you want to kill yourself.
I do. I want to go into the bathroom and just slip my wrists.
That's when he goes to the bathroom and rubs one out. He's like,
he sleeps.
Cameron Diaz.
He's kidding. He's tired when we get there. And
whatever. Cody.
Well, I want to say the first. So we typically go over to her parents' house Christmas Eve.
You see where you started,
night.
Asshole?
What?
That's why I did it. I was like, this is going to be great.
Wait, so anyways. So the first Christmas we spend, because the kids were gone. They were with their father. Mm-hmm. And my parents, my family, we always do Christmas on Christmas Eve because that way we can spend Christmas Day with our significant others, right? My brothers. And so it works out good. So we go to her parents' house Christmas Eve night, probably get there around 10 o'clock, 11. We eat until we getting ready to puke. I was on call. I got called.
Oh, on Christmas Eve?
On Christmas Eve.
Yeah, and we went outside to do fire.
Yeah, they were out there.
Right. We
I was up super late, and then the next day we get up, right. Open presents, yeah. And they're watching Hallmark Channel, and the food, you know, it's just nonstop food. The food coma kicks in, and I'm just laying on the couch, just like
kill me. Yeah, but then it winds up being like the same fucking movie over and over and over.
It's the exact same movie over and over and over again.
And
it's
like
a drama,
the Christmas story.
Everyone, yeah,
you know,
no,
like you
not
know, like
even.
When you watch some of these movies or you're forced to watch them, and like. You wish, like, all right, on the second time, like, there'd be a different outcome. Like, can that bitch die?
What is the point of the Christmas, a Christmas movie or Christmas story?
That's a great. I
don't
You're gonna shoot your eye out,
the
kid.
You're gonna shoot your eye out.
The lamp, the lamp.
We have the leg lamp.
Yeah,
we have
there
the leg
is
lamp.
A very good moral to that story.
It is.
Do not put your tongue on the frost.
Oh, I had a friend that did that when we were in Germany.
A pole, a metal.
And then she talked my brother into it. She talked my brother into it, and he stuck his tongue to it, and it stuck on there. And the bus, we saw the bus coming, and I'm like, the bus is coming. Oh, my God, the bus is coming. And he ripped his tongue off,
Wait a minute,
it gets bad.
Can you put a little warm water on there?
No. Well, yeah, but yeah, we're kids in the middle of Germany.
There's one way, you have warm water inside of you.
Did not know this. We are kids. He's like six. Okay, and we're watching, and he rips his tongue off of it, and blood is everywhere. And so he puts his little mittens on his face, and I'm like, he looks at me, he says, "We got to go back." I was like, "I'm not going home. I'm not going. Are you kidding me? I will get beat. I know I will. I'm not going home." So the nurse calls my mom because my brother's mouth is
hemorrhaging,
ferociously bleeding still because he ripped his. Yeah, it was like a good.
Yeah, they're having a full-on conversation. Anyways, all right, so let's close this out. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to leave it there.
Was that the last of the Chronicles?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this episode of The Salty Show. Catch us on all the social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Give us a follow, hit that like button, and...
You can't slide in my DMs
share some
What happened to your DMs?
Can't do it anymore.
What happened?
We'll start posting a little bit more. We'll catch you all next time. Adios.
No, it's not over. Keep going.
Bye.
Night.
No, it's not over.
I'm sliding.
Bye.